Now, I mentioned the prize that you could win. It's Facebook Live Day here on U105. It seems many of us in Northern Ireland are actually addicted to being online. We touched on this yesterday. I admit it, I couldn't leave down my mobile phone when I'm in company. I need to be fiddling with it. I need it in my hand. I need to sort of just have the comfort of it being close by. Now, the organisation which regulates broadcasters, Ofcom, says the majority of web users are actually admitting to being hooked, spending about 19 hours online during a week. James Stinson is one of the top men in Ofcom. James, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
James, it's interesting research. The reality is that everyone seems to be at it to some extent.
Yes. Well, what we did with this latest piece of research, we all know that more of us are online than ever before and for longer. So we did a little bit of research to find out what people thought about being connected for this amount of time and what they thought were the benefits and disadvantages. And the vast majority of people think it's a very positive thing. The internet's a force for good, keeps them better informed about the world they live in. It broadens their horizons. It makes their work life easier, their home life easier. But it also appears that you can have too much of a good thing, because two-thirds of people, as you rightly pointed out, in Northern Ireland admit to being hooked to their connected device, and something like a third of internet users in Northern Ireland have tried some sort of digital detox over the last year, so taking a period of time offline.
Has it worked for anyone?
Well, we didn't go back and ask them whether they went back on. I suspect a lot of them have, because we all know people who have said, right, that's it, I'm off Facebook, I'm on off Twitter, and then they appear a week or two later. The good news about this is, I think, that people are starting to self-regulate. They're all aware that if they're spending too much time online, they're aware that they're doing that. So they're starting to self-regulate. So two-thirds of internet users said they'd start to cut down in some sort of activity over the last year, be it social media or just general browsing. So the advantages are very obvious. The disadvantages are also becoming more obvious to people. But they are self-regulating. Some people are taking a bit of a step back. And I suppose, put this all in context. Look at the internet. It's only been around 15, 20 years. Smartphones have only been around 5 years. We're having the same discussion now that we probably had about TV 30, 40 years ago. Are we watching too much of it? Are we spending too much time doing this? So, you know, as a society and as individuals, we're just getting to terms with the internet and the effect that it's now having on our lives.
It's having an amazing effect, some of it for good and some of it for bad. It is out of control. Would Ofcom accept that?
No. We think that the internet, as I've pointed out, and this is the findings that we get back from our research, is that for the vast majority of people see the positives, see the benefits, but they're aware that perhaps they do spend a little bit of time online, perhaps longer than they absolutely should, and I'm guilty of that, and I suspect you're guilty of that. But we're all adults, we're all individuals, we can self-regulate, we can put it down, we can do a bit of detoxing. So it's within our gift, it's within our control to do that.
But the bottom line is, we're not all adults, and this is what I'm concerned about, because there are so many kids who are on Twitter or on Facebook. And I know from being on Twitter, one of the things that I've actually followed as a bit of a plan is, if you are linked to football superstars, you will find that there's a certain type of individual who follows the big names in football, who wants to be, I suppose, given their attention. And there's an element of people on Twitter who, I can't think of the best term for them, but you wouldn't be inviting them round to visit your granny. And they're inviting me or a 15-year-old boy or whatever to actually be their friend, to be their follower. And I can't think of a better term other than sleazy. Sleazy's a good word. So if you're a kid and you're seeing that, you're probably being drawn to it. So, and that's in its mildest form. So I'm just saying, even there, it's out of control.
Well, I think the internet is like any other part of life. In fact, every part of life, there are good parts about it and possibly some unsavory elements. And it is important for parents to be aware of what their children are doing online, how much time they're spending online. This survey threw up the fact that half of parents actually have made some sort of attempt to restrict the time that their children spend online. Now, we don't regulate the internet because the internet operates across borders. But what we do on our website, if you are a parent and you're concerned about what your children might be seeing or doing online, go to our website, because there's some useful guidance and advice there on how you can better inform and educate your children. Also, some sort of little technical measures that you can do by using filters and blockers and what have you. So I agree with you. There are some elements of online activity which are a little bit unsavory, but be mindful of that, especially if you're a parent, and do take heed of the advice that's on our website when it comes to things like educating your children, talking to them, informing them, and using technical measures like blocks and filters. But again, I think the positives by far and away outweigh the negatives.
Well, there are strict rules and regulations about this very conversation that you and I are having at the moment. If I say the wrong thing, Ofcom will be down on top of me. I wonder would they be on top of you if you said the wrong thing. But we live under the policing of Ofcom, whereas those who are on the internet don't seem to have any marshals.
That is true, but people are aware of that. Other research that we've done shows that people know the difference between TV, radio and the internet, and they know what's regulated and they know what isn't. And actually, when it comes to things like the provision of news, people place a far greater importance on the news that they get from trusted news sources on TV, on radio, rather than they do online. And I think all important to sort of, we're speaking on a radio program now, it's important to put the internet in context. TV is still massive. We spend nearly 4 hours a day in Northern Ireland watching TV. Radio is still very big in Northern Ireland, very important, very resilient, very robust. We spend nearly 20 hours a week listening to radio. Nearly 9 in 10 people in Northern Ireland listen to radio at some point during the week. So the internet is just part of that. It's not omnipotent. TV, it's there alongside TV and radio. So I wouldn't to get the importance of the internet out of perspective either, because TV and radio are still hugely important, and they are, as you point out, regulated.
Yeah, just on the back of what you're saying there, I want to take a moment to say thank you to the people who've made this programme their programme of choice. Audience Research figures just out, and we're sort of cock-a-hoop and delighted with the numbers who are listening to this programme. It's just a slight aside to say a massive, massive thank you to people who choose to listen to the phone in between 9 and noon. James, one of the bosses here, the man in charge of social media, I just call him Mr. Guy. He's always on to me that I need to do more on Facebook. And he's got me on Facebook Live this morning, giving away prizes and all of that. Why is it that I totally embrace Twitter and I'm never off Twitter? I'm scrolling it and I'm following people and I'm reading news reports and I'm looking out for transfer news. But I rarely am drawn to Facebook. Anyone who follows me on Facebook will think I've rebuked them all because I'm not contributing to it. How do I balance myself out between the two?
Now, you need to speak to a social media expert on that. But one of the findings that come out in this report is social media is hugely important. I think a few years ago, there was a thought that social media had maybe plateaued. It had its day. But actually, in the last year, we've seen a little bit of a rise generally, and something like 6 in 10 internet users in Northern Ireland are now on social media of some sort, be it Facebook or Twitter. It's become hugely important for news organisations like yourself to sort of get the message out there, engage with listeners, and to sort of push news out there. So it's something which cannot be ignored, but whether one's better than the other or which one you should be on, I couldn't possibly comment.
I've got to get more Facebook going because everyone seems to be doing it worldwide. No wonder is it Zuckerbrecker or whoever he is, the man who was responsible for it. I know he begins with Z, but I can't remember. I know his first name's Mark. But, the billions that they've made from it, how on earth did they foresee the like of this, James?
Well, I think it's a very good movie out about that. It just takes a visionary to sort of stumble upon something. One of the things that we've learnt not to do in Ofcom is try and predict the future too much, because if we did, we probably wouldn't be working for Ofcom. But I know that people in the telecoms industry, you might remember this 10, 15 years ago, they were all predicting that we were going to be walking around with tiny, we weren't going to have big phones in our hands, we were going to have tiny little phones that would stick in our ears, or there would be earrings or something like that. It actually turns out that the complete opposite happened. Our phones got bigger again. So it's very hard to predict the future. Good luck to Mark Zuckerberg. He's obviously a very clever, visionary gentleman, but we just have to stick with our day jobs, Frank.
James, I love the way you told me what his surname actually is. I see people texting it as well. Mark Zuckerberg, who, of course, is the man behind Facebook and the film. I'll give you an extra point if you can tell me the name of the film that you made reference to. I can't for the life of me remember it either.
Is it The Social Network?
The Social Network? It is The Social Network. James Stinson, you should be working for Ofcom.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on, James. Thank you. That is James Stinson, who'll be keeping a close ear on everything we do on radio and TV. Let me speak to Patrick. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, Frank. You know what my point is? people answering the phone when you're with them. Now, suppose you're sitting in a restaurant having a meal with a friend or so, and a stranger comes over there, or somebody you know, you would say to them, well, excuse me, I'm having a meal with this gentleman here. I'll catch you later. That's sensible enough. But if your mobile goes off, oh, here, hold on, you stop the conversation. I must check this phone. I must check this text.
Yeah, but Patrick, it's even worse than that. If a text comes through, my goodness, you have to read it. If it goes beep, beep, you know, oh, the nose gets the better of me. I have to at least scroll it to see who is it. Just, oh, who is it? Oh, and then if it's somebody that I really want to hear from, I've got to slip it across closer to me to, you know, get a wee text reply. I couldn't ignore it. But it's even worse than that. You know, I want to know who the next player Man City is going to buy.
When you're with somebody having this conversation, having a meal, would you?
But Patrick, I touched on this yesterday. I do. I will sit and talk to someone across the table, but at the same time, I'm scrolling.
You're not there alone, Frank. I see millions of people doing it, but you know, I find it, you know, it's a bit unusual. You know, there's a human being in front of you who's having a conversation, interested in you, and you think, oh, this piece of equipment here is more important than that man in front of you right now.
But I actually think it's more than that. The little piece of equipment is almost like a crutch. I'm a, you know, shy, innocent, good-living country boy. You know what I mean?
Frank, you can get tablets for it.
So I find it difficult to interact with the public. Patrick.
And another thing, Frank, see, I would never answer a phone on the bus because if people looking around here, I'd love to see how to get off the bus and do it, you know. But people seem to think once the phone rings or once it's attacked, you drop everything, you stop everything and find out. Half of the time, it's loading that, you know, it's not important, a thing, you know.
That is true. And I'm with you on answering the phone, actually lifting it up and saying hello. I would tend to lift and say, get you in a moment, and walk out of the restaurant, or indeed, if I'm getting off the bus that I've never been on, I would simply wait till it gone down the steps. I don't like to have the conversation with other people within earshot, but that's a privacy thing as well. However, would I answer the phone 99 times out of 100? Yes. You never know who it's going to be. It could be, and sometimes you do know who it's going to be because their name comes up, but you never know what they're going to say to you, but you're hoping that they're going to book you for something, that they're going to say, Frank, we're opening a fete in Market Hill and we'd like you to cut the tape. How much will it cost? That's the sort of call I like to get.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105. Listening to you.